What's up, Rams Nation? Welcome to another edition of the Rams Wire podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can find me on Twitter, at Cam DeSilva, and you can follow us on Twitter, at The Rams Wire. So a lot's happened since our last episode. We saw on Tuesday that Matt LaFleur is leaving the Rams to join the Titans. The Rams promoted within to replace him as offensive coordinator. We had the Pro Bowl on Sunday and the Senior Bowl on Saturday, and there's been some moving parts since we last spoke last week. So we'll go through all that, talk about the upcoming draft, where the Rams can look, some guys from the Senior Bowl, and kind of how things went in the Pro Bowl for those guys. So we'll start with the biggest news of the week, obviously, which is Matt LaFleur leaving. He was the Rams' offensive coordinator this past year. It was his first season in that job. And now he's leaving to join the Titans as their offensive coordinator. He interviewed with Tennessee. I think he had a couple interviews with them to be their head coach, but they went a different direction. They went with Mike Vrabel, the former defensive coordinator of the Texans. So they kind of went from within the division to grab a defensive-minded coach. At first, it looked like kind of a curious move because they would presumably want an offensive-minded guy to work with Marcus Mariota after he just had his worst season in the NFL. He really struggled. It was honestly kind of surprising that he was able to lead the team to the playoffs, but they opted to go defense, and they got a good one in Mike Vrabel. You could hear it in his opening press conference. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's not going to throw around terms like smash-mouth offense and things like that, so... he'll elevate the play of the defense, which was pretty strong last year. But back to LaFleur, Vrabel really got a good one in Matt LaFleur. He has only been an offensive coordinator for 1 year. Obviously, that came with the Rams this past year. But even though he didn't call plays, he was a big part of the offense and played a key role in developing Jared Goff, which is really his best asset, is working with these quarterbacks. He did so with RG3 and Kirk Cousins in Washington when he first started out. And then he moved on to the Falcons and worked with Matt Ryan and really played a big role in his MVP season last year. So it hurts the Rams that he's moving on, but Sean McVay could have blocked the hire, and he opted to let him go and really get a promotion, even though it's the same job title, because now LaFleur can go to Tennessee, he can call the offensive plays, he can really grab hold of the offense, which wasn't something that he had in Los Angeles with McVay really leading that side of the ball and taking control of that. So it's a testament to McVay. It's a nice move by him to allow his guys to grow and move on to other teams and bigger opportunities. He did so with Greg Olsen, who went and joined John Gruden and the Raiders and is their offensive coordinator now. So McVay is all about allowing his guys to grow and develop, and that's what you saw with LaFleur. So where does that leave the Rams? They're not going to have an offensive coordinator this season. Sean McVay opted to promote from within. He brought Aaron Cromer up from offensive line coach to run game coordinator. Cromer's still going to be the coach of the offensive line and handle that aspect of the game, but he's also going to coordinate the run game and help Sean McVay in that area. And then Shane Waldron is being promoted from tight ends coach to the pass game coordinator. So you'll see Waldron and Cromer kind of as a two-headed monster commanding that side of the ball and helping McVay, who's still going to call plays. He's still going to have he's still going to be the major decision maker, on that side of the ball. But Cromer and Waldron are just going to be there to help and kind of assist him with those needs. And then you have Jed Fish, who McVay hired, I think it was last week, to be a senior offensive assistant. So he has a good cast around him. He has experienced guys who know what they're doing. And even though it's going to put a little bit more on McVay's plate because he's not going to have that single guy who really takes control as the offensive coordinator, he's still gonna have the same role, same job responsibilities and such. So not much is going to change there. What could change? Well, what is going to change really is Jared Goff's the guys that he's going to work with. So you have Zach Taylor is now the quarterback's coach. He got promoted, and So now he's going to kind of take hold of developing Goff and continuing to help him improve as a franchise quarterback for the Rams. LaFleur and Greg Olsen both had a big role in that. They were two of Goff's biggest mentors and most important guys on that staff, along with McVay, of course. But so it's going to be tough to replace them too, especially with an experienced guy with in Zach Taylor, excuse me. So it remains to be seen how that's going to work out. It's going to be Jared Goff's fourth, I believe, offensive coordinator in as many years, going from UCLA to Jeff Fisher's scheme to Sean McVay last year. And then you have a new offensive coordinator this year, or no offensive coordinator at all, really, with LaFleur gone. Jared Goff is a mature guy, even though he only has 2 years experience under his belt. He knows what he's doing. He's really improved as a passer, so I wouldn't expect much to change there. He'll be just fine, even though he is kind of churning through these coaches and has yet to had back-to-back seasons with the same offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. So that's just something to watch. He still had a great season, still had 28 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, so it is what it is, but that's just something to watch. This past week, I think on Monday, early odds were released for the 2019 Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53, and unsurprisingly, it was the Patriots on top, and then the Steelers, the Vikings, the Eagles all following. And it was kind of surprising to see that the Rams were a little bit further down, despite having such a good season in 2017 and making the playoffs and really changing the way they played on offense and going from 32nd to first. So ahead of next year's Super Bowl, in regards to that, the Rams have 20-1 odds to win it all next year. Those are the eighth best odds. They're tied with teams like the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Raiders are up there too at 20-1. So they're kind of grouped into there, which honestly is a little bit surprising because I think the Rams are going to be one of the top favorites to win it all next season, depending on how the offseason goes. But they don't have many needs depending on how free agency goes and who they sign and who they don't re-sign. But you look at edge rusher, cornerback, those are two substantial needs with Robert Quinn possibly moving on. Connor Barwin's a free agent. Trumaine Johnson is a free agent as well. So that's just something to keep an eye on. But the Rams are one of the strongest teams in the NFL right now, both with their roster, their coaching staff, just everything. Everything is pointing up for them, whether it's Sean McVay doing a good job, Wade Phillips heading the defense and doing a great job there. So they're one of the obviously up-and-coming teams, but essentially they're going to establish themselves as one of the premier franchises in the NFL within the next year or two. I expect them to make the playoffs again next season. I expect them to hopefully win a postseason game after they looked a little bit inexperienced and not mature enough on the big stage this past year against the Falcons. So 20-1 odds. If you're a betting man, I would jump on that on those numbers right now, because I would assume that they're only going to improve as the offseason goes on, when the Rams evidently do bring back LaMarcus Joyner and hopefully Sammy Watkins and guys like that. So their offense or their roster is going to remain strong, and as long as Sean McVay's there, the offense is going to it's going to be one of the best units in the NFL. Going back to the Pro Bowl on Sunday. We had that game, a little bit of a snoozer if you did catch it. If you didn't watch it, you didn't miss much. The Rams they had six guys in the game. Eight players did make the Pro Bowl, but Aaron Donald and Greg Zuerlein, of course, were out with injuries. I'm not really sure exactly what Aaron Donald's issue was, but that's more of a I don't want to get injured situation. So he's kind of avoiding that possibility. But the AFC team did beat the NFC squad 24-23 on Derek Carr's game-winning touchdown pass in the fourth quarter in the final minutes. Jared Goff he was put in a big moment, big spot in the second half. After Carr did throw his touchdown pass, he had a chance to drive the NFC team down the field, lead them on a game-winning drive for the second time in his NFL career, even though this wouldn't have counted. But Von Miller and Yannick Ngakoue got to him for a sack. Miller recovered it, and that essentially ended the game because the AFC took over and kneeled it down and put an end to that contest. So Goff didn't play particularly well. He only had 86 yards on 10 completions and 18 attempts. He didn't have a touchdown pass. He didn't have a pick. He did have that fumble, obviously, but overall, it was a kind of underwhelming game for him. It was sloppy conditions and working with receivers that he didn't know, and he did get sacked twice, but kind of disappointing performance for him, especially given the amount of playing time that he saw. Gurley also struggled. I think he only had like something like 9 yards on 5 carries. No one in the game really ran the ball particularly well. I think there might have been 80 yards total rushing in the whole game between the two teams, so not really a knock on Gurley. It was just not, there weren't many holes to run through. The AFC team did a good job locking him down. One of the highlights of the game was actually Johnny Hecker on the sideline sending out tweets wondering how he can be Pro Bowl MVP, saying that he was doing a great job holding for kickers, and he had one punt of 60 yards. And so he was on the sideline having a good time with Andrew Whitworth and such. And so that was honestly one of the better highlights of the game, where in a game that was kind of a snooze fest. Moving on from the Pro Bowl, because who wants to talk about that 3 days later? But another bit of news popped up after the Pro Bowl from a Denver reporter, Mike Kliss, saying that the Broncos are going to try to trade Aqib Talib. And there was some speculation on Twitter and on Reddit whether the Rams would kind of explore that opportunity, because he did play well in Wade Phillips' scheme in Denver, so he does have familiarity there. And it's just something it's hard to see that happening. Not only would the Rams have to give up some kind of compensation, who knows if the Broncos would take Robert Quinn or Tavon Austin in a situation like that, given their contracts, but Talib is owed $11 million in 2018 and I think $8 million in 2019. So that's $19 million over the next 2 years. That's a tough pill to swallow, especially when you have a guy like Trumaine Johnson, who's going to be a free agent next month or in March too. Talib, I think, is 32 years old, so he's a little bit past his prime, even though he has been a Pro Bowler the past few years. It's hard to imagine the Rams taking a chance on a guy like that, given the point in his career that he's at and the money that it's going to cost him. One reporter, I believe he was from CBS Sports or ESPN, talked to three teams and asked if they'd be interested in trading for Talib, and all of them said no, just because of his contract situation. And he's under contract for the next few years, but $19 million is a lot to pay a 32-year-old corner who is on the tail end of his career, so to speak, unless he's like Terrence Newman and just plays forever until he's 39, 40 years old. But I can't see the Rams really exploring that. If they want to spend money on a cornerback, I don't see why they wouldn't give it to Trumaine Johnson and let him stick around, give him another year in Wade Phillips' scheme. He played relatively well in 2017. He didn't have a great season by any means, but he did in Phillips' scheme. He gets to press. He gets to be a little bit more aggressive. He gets to get his hands on receivers more and press them at the line of scrimmage, which is obviously his best asset given his size and length. So I don't really see them going after Talib unless the only caveat is whether he gets released. If the Broncos do cut ties with him, he's a free agent. No team is going to sign him for $11 million for one season. That's a situation where, depending on what they do with Johnson and Nickell Roby-Coleman, you could see them go after Talib as a free agent. Give him, say, $8 million for 2018 and maybe a little bit of a two-year deal. You never know. Just to stick him around a little bit and give him an opportunity to play with the Rams and almost like a prove-it deal. Not that he needs to prove that he's a good player, but one of those short-term deals, kind of like what they gave Andrew Whitworth, where you pay him a good amount of money, but you don't handicap your whole franchise by bringing in a veteran like that. Of course, he'd be a good fit. He's one of the better cornerbacks in the league. He's a ball hawk. He consistently has 4 or 5 interceptions every year. So that's something that the Rams would welcome, but they didn't have any trouble turning the ball over in 2017 without him. So that's just something to watch in the coming weeks, coming months, when players do get cut and teams move on from these guys that are going to cost them a lot. So Tlaib is one guy to keep an eye on. Going back a day to the Senior Bowl, that was really a blowout game for the South. There was a few guys who stood out. Josh Allen obviously had a great game. Baker Mayfield, he's another one of those quarterbacks, but neither of those guys are going to be someone that the Rams look at, nor will they even reach the Rams at 23. But some kind of underrated guys that played relatively well in that game. You start with Alex Kappa from Humboldt State. He's a lesser-known tackle, offensive tackle, who his stock is rising in the past few weeks with the Senior Bowl. He's a big tackle. He showed a ton of his motor never stops, and he finishes blocks, and he's a good aggressive tackle, which is what you want to see from a player at that position. He's probably not going to be a first round pick. He could sneak into the late first round for a team like the Patriots or a team like that. But I see him more as like a day two guy, second, third rounder. The Rams don't have a second round pick, so if they do go defense in the first round, which I expect them to do with either an edge rusher or a cornerback, you could see them look at a tackle or a guard in round three when they go on the clock at 87. Kappa's definitely a guy I would like for them to look at. He's someone who they can kind of groom, maybe play him at guard and then bounce him outside to tackle when Andrew Whitworth does eventually retire or move on from his contract with the Rams. Another guy was Will Hernandez. If you watch his tape, he's one of the better guards in the draft, and he certainly showed that in the Senior Bowl on Saturday. He's really at the point of attack. He's really physical, really strong. He finishes blocks and gets guys on the ground, which obviously opens up holes for running backs and protects the quarterback inside, which is what you want to see from a guard. He's a guy who really stood out on Saturday, had a really good game against some top-level competition from the interior pass rushers and even edge rushers. That's another guy who he's probably not going to be a first-round pick, but as a day-two guy, if the Rams do want to go offense in round three or possibly move back out of the first round, you could see them pick up a guy like that. On the defensive side of the ball, Darius Leonard, he's a linebacker, really rangy guy who plays all over the field and runs down ball carriers with good speed. He led the game with 14 tackles. He was all over the field, really, when you watch the game. He's a guy who stood out and with his athleticism and physicality. And then as an edge rusher, which the Rams are definitely going to be looking at, Marcus Davenport is a guy who's skyrocketed up draft boards. He's a polarizing prospect because he does have good size. He has Jadeveon and Clowney type size and physical ability like that. But it's a stretch to push those comparisons on him. But he did show he's a strong guy, a physical guy who loves to bull rush tackles and push them back into the quarterback. He got to Baker Mayfield for one sack on Saturday. He had a scoop and score after his teammate stripped, I think it was Tanner Lee. He scooped it up and ran it for a touchdown. So he had a strong game, got a few pressures on the quarterback, and really played better than he did all week in practice. So that's a guy to watch throughout the draft process. He's going to put up big numbers at the combine, which is only going to help his stock. And he's absolutely going to be a first-round pick. It's just a matter of whether he's going to last until 23 for the Rams when they go on the clock. Keeping with the draft, I released my first 7-round mock draft of the year. I'm hopefully going to do a few of those from now until April and kind of give you guys a look at some prospects that are going to be around in the first, third, fourth round when the Rams do go on the clock and so forth. To give you some names that they're going to be looking at and guys that would fit in each of those rounds, there's a number of ways that the Rams can go. They can go defense in the first round and take an edge rusher or corner. They can look offense if they're wiped out and take a guard or a tackle should one fall to them. Depending on what happens with Sammy Watkins, you could see them look at a wide receiver, probably not in the first round, but in day two, day three, you could obviously see them go after a wide receiver if Watkins doesn't come back. And then offensive line, you have John Sullivan, he's a free agent, so center is possibly going to be a need depending on what they do there. Austin Blythe is another guy who is on the roster, and he played well when he filled in for guys like Jamon Brown or Roger Saffold and John Sullivan this year at guard and tackle. So rolling into the mock draft, in round one, I went with Arden Key, who's a really dynamic edge rusher. He played for LSU last year. He didn't have a great season after there was buzz that he could be one of those guys who could go first overall. He took a leave of absence from the team, which was a bit surprising and concerning, especially for a guy with that talent and ability. It makes you wonder whether he's committed to football, whether he has some off-field issues that need to be cleared up. But based on potential alone, he has the ability to be the number one pass rusher in this class just because of his size, his length. He has great speed and burst off the edge, which is exactly what the Rams need. Robert Quinn and Connor Barwin are both a little bit older. Quinn is a guy that Sean McVay even said that they played it cautious with him given his injury history and his age and conditioning. So they held him out a little bit on snaps throughout the season, and in practice he got some days off on Wednesdays. So that's a guy that they really managed, and he's someone that they could release this offseason and save some money. So I think personally edge rusher is going to be their number one need when the draft rolls around, just because of Barwin being a free agent. Matt Longacre is a restricted free agent. Quinn is a guy who could be released. So I think edge rusher is going to wind up being their top need and when the draft rolls around. So that's where they kind of are going to look, especially with Arden Key being such a promising prospect. If he does clean up his off-field issues and gets his head right with football, Sean McVay and Wade Phillips are two guys who can get the most out of a player, especially on defense with Wade Phillips' history and experience on that side of the ball. So in round three, the Rams obviously don't have a second round pick. I've said that before. Tavares McFadden is a cornerback out of FSU. He's a long cornerback with good range, but he did have issues getting burnt this season. There's no question about that. He really struggled in 2017 after, like Key, after the 2016 season. He was a guy that draft analysts were drooling over as a first-round pick and someone who could really be a shutdown cornerback in the NFL. But his coverage ability dropped off a little bit this past season. He was really targeted by quarterbacks and didn't hold up well. But with his size, he's 6'2". He's not the strongest, most well-built guy for the cornerback position, but length is something that Wade Phillips really likes in his cornerback. So that's someone that the Rams could look at in the third round when that does come around. In the fourth, not really sure if this guy's going to be around just because of the week that he had at the Senior Bowl. He really got the attention of a lot of analysts and I'm sure scouts. Kamoko Touré, he's an edge rusher out of Rutgers. He had a good season with Rutgers this past year, but the performance he put on at the Senior Bowl, not just in the game, but throughout the week, in one-on-one situations with offensive tackles, he got around the corner. He has great bend. He's a quick guy who gets off the line with good speed, and his flexibility and ankle flexibility and bend around the corner is just something that you don't see from a lot of edge rushers, which is what makes him so promising. So he's a guy who could go in the second, third round. He could also last into round four just because he's someone who's probably going to play outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. And he's not going to be a good player when you drop him into coverage, which is one of the assignments that you do have from your edge rushers in a 3-4 defense. Some might not like that I double dipped into the edge rushers in the first and fourth rounds, which is two of their first three picks, but if Barwin doesn't come back, or if if Robert Quinn is cut, you're going to need two edge rushers. You're not going to find a top premier guy, on the free agent market. So you're going to have to look at the draft, kind of develop those guys and let Wade Phillips get his hands on one of the guys with good potential at edge rusher and kind of let him mold them into an outside linebacker in his scheme. In the fifth round, Micah Kizer is a guy that I talked about a little bit last week. He's a physical linebacker. He's more of a thumper that you saw back in the day in the NFL as an inside linebacker who really loves to hit and fill gaps and stop the run. Say what you will, but Mark Barron and Alec Ogletree don't really fit what Phillips wants in his inside linebackers in 3-4. They're more of... Barron is a better coverage guy. Alec Ogletree didn't really succeed in any area of the game this past season. He was one of Pro Football Focus's worst linebackers in the league. So that's one area where the Rams have to get better, especially against the run. That's a place where they struggled to stop other teams, and it really hurt them down the stretch. Jumping to the sixth round, the Rams actually have three picks in that round because of the Watkins trade. They traded Greg Robinson to the Lions for a sixth rounder, and then they obviously have their own pick in that round. So my three picks, I think, where they could go in that round are Durham Smythe, who's a tight end out of Notre Dame, Bradley Bozeman is a center out of Alabama, and then Jaleel Scott is a guy that I really like out of New Mexico State. He's a big receiver. He's 6'5", has good ball skills, but what he doesn't do is separate. And that's something you need to do in the NFL. You saw that with Laquon Treadwell can't separate from guys at this level, and it's really hindered his career. He used his catch radius to his advantage at Ole Miss previously before he was drafted by the Vikings, and he had success there, but in the NFL, it's a different animal. You have bigger corners, you have faster corners, so it's more difficult to separate, which is why Scott gets bumped down a little bit to the later rounds. He's someone who, if he runs well at the combine, obviously he can boost his stock and go in the fourth, third round, maybe even. So he's someone that the Rams are probably, depending on what happens with Sammy Watkins, he's someone that the Rams could have their eye on as a big receiver. They have Josh Reynolds there too, who's another big receiver with good speed. But Scott is someone that I really like in this draft, especially if he runs well at the combine. Smythe is more of an all-around tight end. For Notre Dame, he's not an elite pass catcher. He doesn't have great athleticism. He's not gonna run away from guys in the middle of the field. But he's kind of a mix of Higby and Everett, in the fact that he does have decent, good enough hands to succeed as a receiver. But he's also a solid blocker on the edge. So that's something that Sean McVay talked about a little bit at the end of the season, that he wants more out of his tight ends. So they don't have to stick to 11 personnel where they have three receivers, one running back, one tight end on the field almost all the time. No other team ran that formation more than the Rams did, which is pretty telling of their lack of depth at tight end, even though they do have guys who you would think could contribute with Everett and Higby and even Tamarack Hemingway. And then going back to Bozeman, he's a center. Obviously, you know the story with Sullivan. He's a free agent. Depending on what happens with him, the Rams could look at the interior offensive line. Bozeman's not a great athlete. He's not the strongest center that you're going to see. But as a potential depth guy who can sit behind Sullivan and Blythe maybe for a year or two and kind of learn the position, maybe improve his physicality and strength, and hopefully one day become a starter for the Rams. In round seven, these are guys that you're just taking a flyer on rather than risking them getting to free agency where teams are open to sign anyone. Nick DeLuca is another guy from the Senior Bowl. We know how much the Rams respect and covet guys who play in the game in Mobile. So he had a really good week of practice. He has great instincts. The only thing he doesn't really have is physicality. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy, but his work ethic and his motor are really strong, and he never gives up on a play. You saw that from plays that were run on the opposite side of the field from him. He chased down ball carriers and did a good job really finishing plays and never giving up on it. So that's kind of where my mock went. I mixed a little bit of offensive defense. It's going to depend really on free agency and what the Rams do there with their own guys. I don't expect them to go out and sign many outside free agents, definitely not the big names, just because they have so many of their own talented players hitting free agency that they need to re-sign, whether it's LaMarcus Joyner, Trumaine, you have Sammy Watkins, obviously, John Sullivan, Nickell Robey-Coleman. So they're really going to target those guys first. Obviously, you have to re-sign Aaron Donald and such. So that's kind of where I went with my mock. We'll hopefully have another one in the next week or so for you guys. Definitely have one after the combine and all the major events that are going to be coming up. Really, it's only the combine left for the NFL draft, but that's kind of where we stand right now. That'll do it for the third episode of the Rams Wire podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening. Follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire. You can also follow me at Cam DeSilva. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Go Rams!